going through a trial, a murder trial, when your sister is murdered, when a beloved family member is murdered, it's more emotionally difficult than anyone can ever imagine. It's very intense, and it's very difficult. And especially because so much of the media focus is on the offender. Once he was finally convicted, it was such a great moment that he was convicted. What a relief that he was convicted. And then, of course, they had this separate proceeding for the sentencing a couple of weeks later. And it was at that point we got a phone call saying, don't come to the sentencing hearing. Don't bother. We're not going to be bothering with victim impact statements. And, you know, as we had been doing all along, we tried to just, you know, be good little soldiers and follow instructions and say, okay. But I remember at that time really being profoundly disappointed, because that was finally our moment, after all of the agony that we had been through, to have our say, to be able to say to the offender what he had taken from us. But more importantly, even than making that statement to the offender, was putting it in the court record, making sure that the harm that was caused, the story of Nancy and Richard and their lives, you know, all the evidence that's in the trial, that's all in the record. But that doesn't tell the story of who they were and what was taken when they were murdered and what the impact of that crime was. And to be able to now see him years later still actively trying to change his sentence in new appeals that he has open, and to know that that court record doesn't contain anything all these years later about the impact of his crime, I think that's a real loss for how well the system can work.
For those victims' families who it isn't offered, reading a statement, you know, having their time to put things in the official record, you know, you've talked to many families. What is it like for them? Is it a similar kind of feeling, or is it go even farther where, you know, it affects the appeals?
It has been my great privilege and yet sadness to see many much more serious violations of victims' rights than what happened in my case. And I can tell you, in some cases, we even have seen people die in Illinois because they weren't notified of a release of an offender, and ultimately complications led to people's death. It's extremely important that victims be aware of, if there's somebody who's dangerous to them, that they are aware of where that person is. And if there is a release of somebody, that they be notified of that. And this constitutional amendment will make sure that there's not an option of not notifying victims. As it is right now, we have voluntary compliance with victims' rights in Illinois, but this constitutional amendment will give victims legal standing to ask the court to enforce their rights.
Marcy's Law passed through the General Assembly with relatively no opposition. There are a couple naysayers. Can you explain the nuance of how, you know, is this a black and white issue, or what do victims' rights have to do with the rights of the accused?
They have expressed concern that there is a zero-sum game, if you will, between victims' rights and the rights of the accused. That somehow, if victims gain rights, that somehow the accused or the defendant loses rights. And actually, that's just wrong. It's just factually wrong. It's not an adversarial. It's not like it is in the parties of the court where prosecution versus defense battle it out. One wins, one loses. Victims' rights are participatory process system rights that actually have nothing to do with the parties of the case.